You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. I want to begin today with a passage of scripture from Hebrews, the 13th chapter, beginning at verse 1. The writer of Hebrews says, "Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled. For God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, 'I will never leave you or forsake you.'" So we can say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me?" Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So once again, I want to focus on a specific part of this passage from Hebrews. It's that verse 5 that says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, 'I will never leave you or forsake you.' So we can say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me?'" See, I find it interesting that the writer of Hebrews sees it as important to discuss money and the concept of abandonment in the same context. You might be thinking, what does money have to do with abandonment? See, I think for many people, having money is security, and lacking money is insecurity. That makes sense from the typical worldview, doesn't it? We need money to function in the world, don't we? There's nothing inherently wrong with that. Money is not bad. Money is not evil. It's just a tool for buying the things we need, and yes, even the things we want. And we certainly feel more secure when we can pay the mortgage or the rent, and we can put a roof over our heads, when we can buy food and clothing, when we can pay for things to make our life easier and better. The problems arise when we forget where the blessing of money, of supply, of provision, when we forget where all of that comes from, and we start to depend on the money and not on the one who provides it. When we start to love the money more than the provider, when we place our security in the almighty dollar rather than the God Almighty, our Father in heaven, that's when we find ourselves chasing the buck, seeking more and more money because we aren't ever satisfied, because whatever we have is never enough. And when we start to chase the almighty dollar instead of God, we tend to be less secure. No matter how much money we accumulate, the more we emphasize the balance in our bank accounts, the less we tend to acknowledge the provider God. And in turn, we begin to give less to those in need. We tend to offer less to the needs of the church and its ministries. We tend to be reluctant givers instead of the cheerful givers whom God loves. God says to us in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And put me to the test in this, says the Lord of armies, if I do not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows." See, God says, test him in this. Bring the full tithe and see if I do not pour out my favor on you and your family. Jesus tells a story in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 16 about the rich man and Lazarus. Listen to what Jesus says in this parable. "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us is a great chasm that has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us.' He said, 'Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them.' He said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to them, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.'" And then in Matthew's gospel, Jesus says this. He says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." You can't serve both God and money. See, Luke 16 teaches us that we can either seek the favor of man or the favor of God. Seeking the favor of man is temporal. Seeking the favor of God has eternal impact. And Matthew 6 teaches us that we cannot serve two masters. More and more these days, as individuals, as congregations, as ministries, we have to make choices as to whose favor we will seek and whom we will serve. Every day we face choices as to what side we will be on, as to whom we will serve. Every day God renews his promise to walk with us, to never forsake us, to never abandon us, if we will choose to stand for righteousness. The world, the culture, wants us to conform to it. But we must be willing to stand for God. I mentioned Joshua last week in the Old Testament. Joshua tells us that we have to continually examine ourselves. Joshua 24:15 says, "Now if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, then choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." My prayer this morning is that we will always choose God's favor. I pray that we will always choose to serve God and not mammon. I pray that we will stand firm in the face of our modern-day Amorites, those seeking to have us assimilate into the collective culture of a land in which we are only sojourners, travelers. May we find strength in Jesus Christ. And may we support in one another and in our Father in heaven. May we find that strength and support there. Because God assures us that we are never abandoned in Him is our security. It's intentionally placed on our money. In God we trust, not on the coin that we hold in our hand. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.